This is episode 398, recorded November 11th, 2016. Packard pokes at, "Get me the California out of here." I want to thank Tom the Atheist on from the chat room for this week's show title.
Stuff your stocking with Packard Pokes at merchandise this holiday season. Give your honey a hoodie. Give your mama a mug of Christmas cheer. Let Packard Pokes at help you find that last-minute holiday gift. By shopping at cafepress.com/PackardPokesat, you not only fill your holiday shopping list, you help support the show.
Do you like Packard Pokesat and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokesat, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokesat. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me tonight from the far, far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
That might be Hennessy in my cup, but that's not your business. It's been a very, very rough week.
Yeah, I understand that. And joining us from the far south of me is Tom, your friendly neighborhood atheist on.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah, I think I got it right that time.
Friendly neighborhood atheist.
Yeah, your friendly neighborhood atheist, but he doesn't shoot a spider web.
The atheist on. And that's definitely Jim Beam in my cup.
Tom, when you shoot webs, are they atheist webs?
No, they're skeptical webs.
They're skeptical webs. Okay, very good. And join
us. Skeptical of what they are.
Yes. And join us in the farther west coast from the great state of Alaska until it melts.
So
Prophet
great.
Of Zod.
Hello.
Alaska?
Yes. Wow. He's the first time we've had anybody from Alaska. We apologize for Sarah Palin, you know. So.
Hey, it's our mistake, not yours.
Yeah, well. We had to make it a state, so I feel partly responsible. Usually in the South, if there is some kind of strife going on in the United States, you hear places like Texas going, "We're going to secede. We're going to leave the United States." Because, you know, they're always throwing some kind of hissy fit if the president sends down troops to do a thing, which is, you know, the stuff that they usually do, like training and things like that. It's like, "Oh, the United States is trying to take over Texas. You're already part of the United States. They can't take you over. You're already there." But because of this latest election, unless you've been living under a rock or you've had your fingers in your ears for the last several days, and that's probably the best way to go, Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States.
He's fired.
You're fired, Trump. Anyway, there's this new thing going around. It's called CalExit, and that's actually several states, which include California, Oregon, Washington, and Nevada, because those states have said, you know, we're mainly blue here, and we have enough resources that we could go it on our own if we wanted to. And there are a lot of people who are saying, "Oh, this is just sour grapes. You guys are just pulling the same shit that Texas is doing. You're just crybaby. And honestly, maybe they are. But will they do it? There's some good precedent saying that they can do it if they actually wanted to. And if they should decide to secede without bloodshed, but if Trump gets into office, I'm sure there will be bloodshed. Because, you know, "I can't have anybody leave or do nothing against me because I got to leave. The States was huge when I was here," you know. So.
No, huge.
Huge. It was huge.
Why?
I have tiny little hands, but the States were huge. But it turns out, as I was saying, that it is possible that those states could, in fact, secede from the Union. Connie, your thoughts?
I didn't realize that Washington was a part of this because I wasn't at the meeting.
Yes.
Well.
Well, now.
Does Does Trump have $1 billion? You know, there's a lot of people every election cycle for, I don't know, since the last 20, 30 years, if you don't like what's happening in the White House, people say, I'm going to go to Canada or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, really? That needs to be the newest logical fallacy is what I'm thinking.
Argumentum ad to Canada.
Bandwagon, whatever. Yeah, I don't know.
Bandwagon to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Why would we haul all our shit up to Canada and make them deal with our problems? I don't know.
Although there's this great meme I saw where it says, like, a little ball, and it's the United States, and he's got, like, the building the wall against Mexico, and there's, like, the Mexican state is going, ¿qué? You know, it's like he's saying what in Mexican? And then the next panel down is the Canadian border building a fence, and the United States guy is going, what? Why? Oh, it's nothing personal. And the Canadian guy's going, nothing personal. So...
Well, you know, I actually Dawkins talk moving to Canada, argumentum ad A. that's a really good point. I hadn't heard about this. I don't agree because I don't think that's how you solve a problem is by running away from it. And I granted, a Trump presidency is going to be a lot of shit. It's going to be a lot of bad crap. But we don't face it by running away from it. We face it by making it better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, anyway.
Dawkins was making the argument saying that compared to Trump and Pence said that they will take away folks' civil rights and human rights, and Obama didn't. They were just – everybody was just so scared that he was going to take away their guns, which he never did. So
that's why Texas wanted to succeed because they were afraid Obama would take away their guns.
Yeah.
California wants to succeed because they're afraid they're going to – Trump's going to arm them all.
Ba-dum-bumch. Yes.
Do you have any more thoughts on that there, Tom?
Well, there's lots of reasons to leave because of Trump. But I think they've been planning this for years. I think they've been planning this since the first Bush.
Oh, yeah.
They just they figure, we're big enough. We're bigger than half of Europe, so we should go out alone.
Yeah.
That way we can grow our pot and nobody's going to fuss with us.
Honestly, I've thought about it. If California decides to secede, because my state here in Wisconsin, we actually went red for the first time since Reagan. And I was like a single digits adolescent at that time. So I might move to California until this blows over. So you'll see me getting a suntan on the beach. Any additional thoughts there, Tom?
I don't know who they can put, vote president. Schwarzenegger?
Oh, God, no. Then you just say, no, we need to get back into union.
This is a state that had Arnold Schwarzenegger as their governor for, did he do one term or two terms?
He did two terms, I think.
He was governor. Yeah.
He was gubernator. Yeah.
The
so
gubernator,
they
yes.
Have Arnold Schwarzenegger yes. to lead them, but Donald Trump is too far.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think personally all the Republicans over in that state, that are in office, they're just like, are just crazy batshit, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. They're batshit crazy enough to accept Arnold,
mm-hmm.
and Trump is too much for them.
You know, it makes me wonder if they're going to try to put, since they've got the House, the Senate, and the presidency, if they would try to put through a constitutional amendment right away, saying that so people like Arnold could become president, you know, because there was a talk about that, too, a while back. Yeah. Because Arnold he's not an American citizen, but he's been nationalized, so... They might try to push that through because they've got
he's
all
a national
these
treasure.
Things.
He is the Arnold.
Yeah. Prophet of Zod. What are your thoughts?
It's really hard for me to know what to think about this because it seems like the kind of thing people talk about every once in a while. And I would guess just nothing's going to come of it. But I don't know. There's this weird phenomenon. It seems like at least since Clinton, at least that's the first one I remember because I was old enough. Everybody just goes extreme against the opposition president and says, like, it's the end of the nation and all that stuff. And... Mm-hmm. I don't know. Now it's got me thinking, like, what do we do when we do have a president that crazy?
Yeah.
We're all kind of deaf to that sort of rhetoric. And that's kind of what California's thing sounds like to me. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. There's been some really good stuff here in the chat room. Dawkins Dog is saying, is it crazy to think the GOP is using Trump as a useful fool, positioning the extremists around him before they can have him removed and replaced with Air Pence. I honestly, there's been people, they get in the office and the first thing you do, they start putting out like death threats and they're going to say, I'm going to kill the president, whatever. Honestly, I would suggest that don't do that. Please don't fucking do that, because Pence is even 10 times fucking worse than Trump.
Yes, he is.
So if you're gonna do that, start with Pence and then work your way up. Don't start at the top down. Don't do either one.
Well, okay, but then let's follow the line down, because Trump hasn't named his Secretary of State, and isn't that the next person to be president?
Ben Carson was. No, he's gonna be Secretary of Education as Carson, I think. Yeah, I know, right? I could be wrong on that, but it's just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. No.
That's what I was hearing, too.
I'm a bill. I am only a bill.
Yeah.
I kind of doubt the Republicans or anybody else are in that much control of this situation. I think it's just kind of spiraling out of
The whole country is going to see how the Republicans spiral the country out of control in so many different ways. I'm more afraid of this is going to sound really bad, but I'm almost afraid for us, as atheists, to be in this country when the Republicans get into office, because right now Trump hasn't even started his office yet. And I've been seeing reports around the United States, and one of them was in my next state over in Minnesota, where people who are Trumpers, I'm just gonna call them Trumpers, have been going around and harassing minorities around the area. Just like there was one situation where there's an Asian woman. She's from the United States. She was born here in the United States. She was getting off a plane and she was harassed by a Trump guy who grabbed her, and then she hit him, and then she got arrested. But the cop figured out that she wasn't the aggressor in this, because he called the cops, to report her after he harassed her. I mean, to me, this smacks of like how the Christians will go on the attack saying, you're going to go to burn in hell and what everything. And then when you tell them, no, I'm not, then they feel all persecuted and shit.
Ah, yes.
And tonight we have our guest host, Prophet of Zod. Hello and welcome, Prophet of Zod, to the Packard Pokes at Show.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I just have a quick few questions here, and then I'm going to turn you over to my co-host, and then we're going to really let the shit fly from the chat room. I'm kidding. They don't throw shit. They throw ham. So
have mustard and sourdough ready.
Exactly. Yes. How long have you been an atheist, and how did you come to your non-belief?
Boy, it's hard to say. I openly came out as an atheist, at least to my brother, about 2 years ago. But I would say I was more or less one for about 10 or 15 years. But it's really hard to identify when you become an atheist. It's just, I don't know, anybody who's been religious, I think you know that at some point, I think almost all of them know things are wrong about the religion and kind of try to stick it in the back of their mind.
Yeah.
And I just became more and more conscious of the fact that I was doing that. And in the process, I don't know exactly when I totally quit believing, but I would say shortest answer would be 2 years ago. I really took on that label. Mm-hmm. But it was a long journey getting there.
Oh yeah. Some people it's shorter, but some people it's longer. I mean, it took me a long time myself, so I understand that.
Yeah. It was kind of weird. Like, I don't know. I would say at least about 10 years ago, I significantly doubted it. And within that period of time, I had like taught Sunday school classes and was the principal of a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through these back and forth things of trying to make yourself believe, and you kind of know you're doing it, but you try to tell yourself you're not. So
right. Yeah. I get that. My next question is, how did you come up with the name Prophet of Zod for your channel?
I knew that one was coming. Partly I just needed a name.
A name is a good place to start.
Yeah. Yeah. I just didn't know what to do for a name for a channel.
Mm-hmm.
But back when I was like 5 years old, the founding apostle of a local Pentecostal denomination up here,
mm-hmm.
Prophesied that I'd become a great prophet of God. And my parents always kind of like to bring that up every once in a while. And so I liked the old Superman movie, and I liked that little scene where the president says, "Oh God." And then Terrence Stamp says, "Zod."
I know that scene. That's from Superman 2.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes from those movies.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of where I put that all together. I just randomly needed a name. I didn't know what to come up with, so that's what I did.
It's a great hook. I love it.
Thanks.
Now, on your videos, you have like what looks like it's a static. You basically, well, I have a green screen behind me. This isn't a big ass, huge ass studio. It just makes it look like I'm in outer space. But I'm assuming that you do like a green screen over, you do the reverse what I do. You put the green screen like a mask on, and then you do the reverse of that. Is that correct, or how you do that?
Yeah, I have a blue screen behind me, just basically a sheet I put up on the wall, and then I started putting an orange mask over my head, and then I just key out both colors separately.
Oh, really? Oh, so that fireplace scene, that's not real?
That what?
The fireplace scene behind you?
Oh, the fireplace is real. Yeah, that one I started, I just moved into a new house a couple months ago.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that would save me some work keying out my backgrounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, when you said that you were doing two different colors on, I was like, wait a minute, that fireplace scene, that looks amazing. That's an actual house, though.
No, that one's real, but a lot of other ones I key out the background.
Oh, okay. What made you to come up with that to do something like that, to, you know, use the static for your face?
Originally, I didn't necessarily want to show my face. Mm-hmm. Recently, more it has more to do with the fact that I don't particularly care to do on-screen performances, and my videos are heavily edited, so I just don't want a lot of jump cuts in between. So I record my audio first, and then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's basically just to avoid having to say my whole thing at once, and so I can edit when I stumble over words and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's more of a boring technical explanation than you might think.
No, I get that. I totally get that. Here, we do everything. We do it live. And then I go back and edit, and then there's jump cuts are everywhere. I really don't care. But it's about the content.
Yeah, so this is quite a different thing for me. Mine are very heavily scripted and edited on YouTube.
Wait, somebody write this down. Scripting. I'm going to write the scripting.
That's just some level of professionalism that I'm unaware of.
Wait. Professional. I'm going to write that one down, too. Professionalism. Okay.
Where are these edits you speak of?
Yeah, I know, right?
Scripting, professionalism. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't bring the word professionalism into it, but yeah.
Okay.
But I like to be scripted.
I know several of the YouTubers that do that, where they hide themselves behind a mask. I won't mention their name right off the top of my head, but they do the same thing. They just bounce around, and then they hear the what they're saying behind the speaker or something, and they just kind of bounce around with it. Although you did have one video I caught where you were kind of pulling up your mask right at the end there, and it was like right off the edge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I do that. My fiance saw me do that one. She saw the raw footage that was at the end, and she said that'd be funny to put. And so I started putting it it's actually at the end of most of my Bible lesson videos now.
Okay. That's a good hook. I like that. It's like, see, there's the man behind the mask. The other guy, he won't do that.
Yeah, I like to put funny things, a little funny thing at the end of most of my videos, just so if you stick around, you get to.
This whole show is just funny, right from beginning to end. So, and then there's me. So, how do you go about producing your videos? How do you edit and film them?
Well, I record. I always write and then record audio first, and then I just for most of my I just film using an iPhone. Really,
really?
I have one of those little bending tripods and remotes.
Wow!
So I just film using an iPhone, and then I edit it in Adobe.
Oh, so you download it from the phone and then into Adobe?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's so nothing fancy at all. It's just what I had on hand. I just kind of used.
Okay. What made you decide to get into making videos, get on YouTube and say, hey, I have a voice. I have something to say. And I want to teach these motherfuckers something.
Well, it started with my brother, actually. He had a channel. He was the Faith Check.
Yeah, I actually found that just the other day. Have him come over. Wow. Come on, call him up right now. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, he'd been doing videos. I didn't know about it at first because he wasn't aware that I was an atheist, and I kind of wasn't either. It was at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so later, after I'd come out to him, he invited me to write. And I wrote a couple scripts for him, but then he got too busy, and that's where I kind of set up my own channel.
Oh, okay. He makes some pretty good videos. I've seen a few. I haven't seen them all, but he's made. I've seen a few of them. Tell him, hey, Packard Sonic said, get the fucking work, make some more videos. I need to be entertained.
I'm constantly harassing him about that, but he's just too busy right now with life.
No, I get that. I totally get that. No, I mean it. Tell him to get busy. No, I'm just kidding. are there any other YouTubers out there that you really like that may have, you know, or somebody, another YouTuber that kind of inspired you, I mean, other than your brother, that inspired you to get into making videos?
Boy, I don't know. There's a lot of the typical ones. I mean, I started out watching, like, Dawkins and Harris, all those ones, mm-hmm. and then I got into Bible Reloaded, mm-hmm. Logicked.
Yep.
You can tell I probably kind of, I don't know if I unconsciously emulated him, but it's similar the way, you know.
Yeah, no, that's the name I wasn't going to mention, but, you know, there it is.
Yeah, someone said I looked like him once and thought it was kind of funny, but.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know. There's a ton of them. It's hard to even, oh, yeah, Non-Stamp Collector. He's always one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, he hasn't made anything in a while. He hasn't made anything in a while.
No, he's been pretty inactive.
Yeah.
He looks, I mean, his stuff looks like, compared to Dark Matter, his stuff doesn't look really polished, but then when you watch it, I'm amazed by the writing he does on that. He's really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here we have no writing. We just, if we actually did writing, I wouldn't have a personality.
But yeah, I'd forgotten about him. He was one of the ones, I think he's the first one, because my brother actually had put a link on Facebook, and I watched the Noah's Ark one that he had done. And he's the first one, I think, that got me hooked into it.
Okay.
It's a little depressing watching him because his writing's so good. I know I'll never be like that, but.
Oh, hey, don't cut yourself short. You one day you'll be right up there, people going, oh, yeah, Prophet Azad. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then you're going to go, Packard Sonic. Who the fuck was Packard Sonic? I have no idea who the hell that fucker was. So. I blew his doors off years ago. So. what do you do outside your YouTube persona? Do you have like a job? Do you hunt moose up there? What do you do?
I do have a job. It's pretty boring right now, but
it's hunting moose, isn't it?
Yeah. I used to hunt moose, but that has gotten very frustrating just because of the regulations.
I can imagine so.
Yeah,
you got to cut the squirrel with him each time, right?
You have to what?
You have to hunt squirrel with him. Moose and squirrel. Never mind.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. No, it's very technical, but there's these things. You have to identify certain things on the rack and all that stuff. So you can stand in the middle of six moose and not be able to shoot one. It's kind of irritating.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to turn the questions over to my co-host Connie. What are your questions for Prophet of Zod? And please don't call for Superman, because otherwise I'm going to be getting my head cut off.
Damn it, Packard! Don't limit me on my questions. Shit. Okay. Is Superman a moose?
Not to my knowledge.
Actually, my husband, you know, but he was in his senior year of high school. He lived in Alaska, and you know, evidently the moose like to challenge the trains.
Do they?
And so, you know, yeah, you get called out to go collect the meat or something. But that was like 20 plus years ago, so I don't know if that still happens.
They like to walk on the tracks because there's no snow there, and so that's
well, yes, that makes sense. Actually, it's an easier path. Okay, well, again, I do apologize. Usually I'm better prepared for interviews, but...
She was just slacking this week, that's all.
Yeah. God, family. They're so rude.
Yeah, anyway. I know. They just interfere with showtime. Jeez. What is it with them?
Kids are so needy. It's
I
like,
know. It's like, just feed me. Put clothes on my body.
I threw some kibble in there.
Yeah, I know. Just put some food in a bowl and walk away. Just, you know.
Okay, what's your background with religion? How did you grow up? Is it a mixed bag? Was it, you know, evangelical?
Yeah, it was evangelical, Pentecostal. So we were the ones that, like, you know, said gibberish, and later on they started falling on the floor and all that stuff.
Been there.
Exactly.
Been there.
Yeah. No.
So I grew up in a small community just north of Anchorage, and for my whole life, I went to the same church and school all in one building within my little small town. So,
your actual education was in this school too.
Yes, it was. Yeah. So it was, okay. It was very, very isolated. It was a good education in a lot of ways, to be honest. I mean, they, you know,
yeah.
They taught you some good stuff, but they also taught you a lot of weird things too.
Yeah.
I homeschooled the youngest of my my kids. I have I've given birth to 8. I have 9. So, you know, I get that. And it, part of my motivation to homeschool was because I was Christian, but mostly because of the school district I was in. So, yeah, but homeschool is it's iffy, and it's like Christian school because the resources that they draw from, I think, are weird. you know, very skewed. Okay, this is just about your persona. You know, you don't look so much like Zod. You look like Victor Von Doom.
Von Doom.
Victor Von Doom.
Well, are you a
comic
book
fan?
True. That's true. He did not say he is Zod. He just said.
Are you a comic book
prophet,
fan?
I guess. I don't know.
Are you a DC? Are you a Marvel? Or are you both? I mean,
I'm not that into it, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy Superman, Batman.
That's DC.
X-Men. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's kind of both. Mm. I liked the movies growing up, the old corny Superman movies.
Oh yeah.
My parents took me to the theater to watch Superman. And I show up, I'm like, "What the hell? This isn't a cartoon." But
oh,
then
you're talking about the one with Christopher Reeve in him, right?
Oh, come
yeah,
on.
It was
no.
Superman 2 is what they brought us to, and then I was really scared of the villains because.
But that was the best one.
What's that?
Superman 1 and 2 with Christopher
Superman
Reeve.
Two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I still think
ahead,
Terrence Stamp is one of the best supervillains ever.
Actually, yeah, he was actually.
Miss Tessmacher. No, that's sorry. That's
Miss Tessmacher.
That's Gene Hackman.
Yeah, that's Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman gave the best performance, I think. That's my opinion, but
yes. I apologize. I don't know how many more questions I have, but you say what? Like 10 years ago, 10 years before you came out, you were actually dealing with this, and I look at the fact that you're a principal, you're an educator, you have a degree in teaching.
Yes, I do.
And I think education is one of the more compelling reasons why people can and should be skeptical, if not atheists. And so was it something about education that led you to atheism?
I think, honestly, I just thought too hard about it. I was actually a bit of an apologist when I was in college. And I mean, I'd met Josh McDowell in person, you know, I'd been very involved in all that stuff.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Josh McDowell.
I mean,
yeah,
not like right. On a really buddy level, but you know, I was involved
yes.
in that whole scene. And
yes,
I think most atheists who used to be Christian tended to be ones who were highly involved. And that was my issue in the process of digging in and trying to justify my faith. You start, the closer you look at it, the more you realize is wrong with it. And I just, yeah. The best way I can describe it is I recognize the process in my mind by which I was trying to justify things that didn't make sense.
Right.
And
so, I saw myself doing things. I would, apologists, honestly, are some of the people who convinced me to become an atheist more than any other person outside myself.
Really? Now that's interesting.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
it,
because
it is.
They,
yeah.
They very transparently learn certain tricks and certain patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how consciously they do it to trick people or how much they've gone through the same thing in their own head and they're putting it out to other people. But it was very transparent to me. I saw William Lane Craig, you know, Josh McDowell, those people, they do these little tricks and they're just very obvious. And so
that's the problem,
it highlights what was going on in my mind and how flawed the whole Christian thought process is.
Mm.
And that's the problem, isn't it? Because it's a trick. It's not truth. It's a verbal trick.
Yeah, just to keep talking and then keep changing the subject every 2 seconds.
Well, again, it's not actual proof. It's an illusion. And that's I find that really interesting because I spend a lot of time myself listening Josh McDowell. I had a friend who was training to be a pastor and had, I don't know, at the time it was cassette tapes, listening to them, you know, and apologists, it's funny because that's what I spend a lot of time myself doing too, as a Christian. So yeah, it's funny how it undoes it. It's an undoing of belief. So
there was a moment when I was watching Josh McDowell and he was talking about that proof for the resurrection where, you know, of course nobody could defeat the Roman guards and, you know, it's obvious proof Jesus had to have risen from the dead and all that stuff. And he goes, well, what about people who don't believe the Bible? And he kind of clapped his hands together and rubbed them all excited. And he goes, and that's when I get really excited because, you know, then I'm happy to get into that. And then he went on to the next thing. And I remember even as a Christian, I'm sitting there and I recognize that to us in the room, all we needed to hear was him suggesting that he had a solution and we were happy with it. Mm-hmm. And that's that when you watch apologists, that's a lot of what it is they suggest to their audience that there's a solution. And then the audience is happy. They just allude to it. And the audience doesn't want to know whether or not there actually is one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a very cooperative thing between the audience and the apologist.
Well, the problem with religion is that it has a built-in audience.
It's,
you know, you have the presumption that there is a God, and everybody wants to think that.
Yeah. Plus, if they actually gave the solution that they were alluding to, people would see right through it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
the examples they give are always so ridiculous.
And vague.
Vague sells magic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the audience isn't showing up to investigate. They're showing up specifically to have their doubts soothed. And so they're really easy to sell to.
Oh, yeah. I get that.
Hey, okay. I'll turn it over to Tom.
All right. Tom, what are your questions for the prophet of Zod? Who is not actually Zod?
No.
Prophet of. Prophet
and I'm not a prophet, so what are you going to do?
Right.
So,
you know, oh, shit.
When I started doing videos, it was more an avenue to vent my frustration with religion and just how much it was being pushed. Who is your target audience? I mean, you're an educator, and I've watched some of your videos, and they're very educational and very well done. But who are you hoping to reach? Are you preaching to the choir, or are you hoping to convert people?
That's a question I've kind of struggled with, and I have to kind of re-examine it as I see some of my material come out. Because I would hope to reach out to Christians, but on the other hand, obviously in mine as in a lot of people's material, there's a lot of sarcasm and a lot of teasing, which obviously isn't going to go over well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to slip into that without thinking about it. And I am thinking of maybe doing a small series of videos that are more conciliatory and more directed right at Christians. But somebody brought this up in one of my comments that some of my material wasn't really effective for reaching Christians and it would turn them away. And that got me thinking that a lot of the people who we're really trying to reach are more seekers or, I don't know, people who aren't really entrenched Christians, but are just kind of out there looking for answers.
Who are already questioning their faith.
Yeah. A young person was speaking to me recently and talking about she wasn't really religious, but not really exactly an atheist. And she said that someone had asked her to go to church and she was kind of bothered because nothing there made sense. And she said, but I found that people on YouTube make more sense. And I'm like, well, like who? And she's like, well, Richard Dawkins is one. And I thought that was pretty cool. But I think a lot of people like that who are kind of on the fence, a little bit exposed to religion, or they grew up with it, but they're not really, they're not really deeply into it. I think there's a big value in reaching out to those people and just showing that there's a reasonable voice, ridiculing it a little bit, but I don't know, just kind of articulating a lot of the reasons why, it doesn't really make sense, or especially, isn't even really a good moral option. Because there's a lot of people out there who aren't really fundamentalists, but just think, well, there's no harm. It's kind of this benign thing that helps society. And really, if you take it for what it actually is, it isn't so good, I don't think. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm always kind of rethinking that. That's a very difficult question. And I think any good content producer, especially with something as controversial as atheism, if you're trying to reach people, you always have to be rethinking that.
Yeah, it's hard to have a definitive plan. Like I said, when I do it, it's mostly to vent. I hope to reach people, and I point this out to people all the time. My aim is not to convert anyone. My aim is to get people to question what they already believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because a lot of times, by making fun of them, which offends them, it's like, well, if you're so offended, maybe you should be questioning what it is about what I say that is offending you. If you're offended when I say your God is ridiculous, well, what about that is offensive to you? So my aim is more to question them. But for you, my question is, I saw one which you explain things to babies. Was there only the one? And you should do more of those.
I can think about that. Really, that one never gained that much. I never got the impression that people liked that one that much. That was honestly made out of frustration with Twitter.
Uh-huh.
The number of times that question, why are there still monkeys, came up with on Twitter, and just how totally stupid that
question is. Oh, that is gotta be the fucking stupidest question. We come from monkeys. Where are there still monkeys? Okay, if we come from dirt or dust, why is there still dirt and dust?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's
like saying we come from England, so why the fuck is there still England?
Yeah, that's the exact analogy I used in that video. It's, why are there still your grandparents? I mean, there's a million different things you can say in response to that. It's so transparently stupid. I made that out of irritation, and I don't know if I should regret how condescending that video is.
No, you need to be more condescending. Be more condescending. I'm constantly condescending.
Well,
I'm not real popular, but I'm very condescending.
That was episode one. I think there necessarily has to be an episode 2, 3, 4, and 5, because there's lots of. I mean, that I like the idea that is like it's a really stupid question. Get all the time, and I answer it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But right. And I have several videos, but to have a specific series aimed at children and babies specifically, saying, here's this idiotic question, I'm going to explain it to a baby because a baby can understand what you apparently cannot.
Right, exactly, or what you choose not to understand.
Yeah, so I think you should
if people comment and put more topics on there. My trick was, when I thought about it, maybe it's just a lack of imagination, or maybe I didn't give enough of my attention, but I can't think of as many things that were as good as that one, so I felt I was at a little bit of a dead end. But if I come up with more ideas and people seem interested in it, I'll definitely try to make some more of those.
Well, it's not good to come at a dead end at episode one.
Yeah, exactly. But if you see my channel, one issue I have is I have a little bit of ADD with starting new ideas or new projects.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
But well, I'm always kind of refining and coming up with new ideas.
Yeah, like my channel is pretty much, and it started on basically, Tom the Atheist on, and it was on whatever subject, and I did videos on just some idea got in my head or something bugged me, so I do a video on it, and I didn't really try to create any kind of series.
Tom does a show, it does a video in like 5 or 10 minutes, and I've made these 5 or 10 minute shows that take hours to produce.
Yeah, and
yeah,
all of mine take
several hours.
Yeah, all my videos are typically the first shot and straight through. There's the only editing is chopping off or adding a header and a trailer.
Yeah, and the words and everything too, so yeah.
But I'm not doing this professionally. I'm doing this strictly to get these issues off my chest and onto the chests of others.
There's that word again, professional. I'm going to write this down. Make sure I have a check mark next to that. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Partly I like to have a bit of polish to my videos, and partly I'm not totally confident in what comes out if I just sit there and look at a camera and talk. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what is your hope for your channel? I mean, do you hope to make this a money-making venture, or is this strictly just you want the world to be more educated?
Certainly not money-making. I mean, if it ever did, I wouldn't, argue with
turn
that.
Turn it down.
I started out from the very beginning not having any particular hopes as far as number of subscribers or views or anything like that, because you never know where these things are going to go. And you even see those people who had like a million, used to have 1 million views and are down like 1,000. So I just decided I would be happiest if I didn't really, you always pay attention, you want to get more people on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't really going to have any particular hope or goal and just kind of be content doing it, where it's at. I'm at about 100 right now. And so I just have to keep making videos, happy doing it for 100 people. And
I was number 99. Happens,
What's that?
When I got to your channel, you were at 98, and I subscribed, and you were I was number 99. So I got you that much closer.
Yeah. I think I was 104 or 105. Or maybe
I just rolled over 100 like a week or so ago, and then once you put up your video, which I appreciate, by the way, I'm up at 106 as of now. So, but yeah, it's nice to grow. I mean, basically, as far as my goal, I want to inform people. A lot of them, especially my Bible lessons, I draw somewhat from my teaching background as far as how I lay that out and try to make it informative. Mm-hmm. And those ones are somewhat targeted at Christians, even though they're a little sarcastic. It's like, here's what literally is in the Bible. Here are some questions you can think about. But my goal is just say things I think are important to say, contribute something to the conversation, and mostly I just like making them. So,
yeah,
you know, if anything that's really comes of it that's bigger than that, great. If not, I'm content just to kind of keep doing it.
Well, I know from personal experience, it's easy to get drawn into silly conversations. Have you found that you've been spending a lot more time on the comment sections responding to people, or do you kind of just read what they say and?
I try to respond to everybody mostly out of courtesy. I mean, it's nice to interact. And mostly at this point, I'm small enough to where almost everybody there is a regular fan. It's a very tight-knit group at this point. Mm-hmm. I've gotten, I think, a total of one person who argued the Christian perspective who somehow stumbled into the mix. And I had some back and forth there. But that was pretty much it. If I start getting more people with varying perspectives, I'll definitely enjoy interacting at some point, but boy, that gets tedious.
Absolutely, it can get tedious. I've had conversations with some of the people who get on Tom's channel, and I'm just like, go back and forth, and it's like they keep putting back the same arguments over and over and over again. Then they try rewording, and it's like, this is the same argument, you're just using different words.
It's repetitive, and I've gotten drawn in. I mean, I have a Twitter account. I'm totally Twitter illiterate, but I got one because everyone said I had to have one if I had a channel.
You should.
And yeah, and it drives me crazy. I can get on Twitter for a while, but you make a comment on something there, and then you get drawn into this totally immature flame war with an apologist or Christian or whatever, and every time I look, I have 20 plus notifications on my phone every 15 minutes, and it's just people saying whatever they say. If you've been on the internet, I mean, it sounds the same now as it sounded 15 years ago when I first the internet.
Yeah,
it's just...
I get that, because I used to get onto Twitter and I'd have these long discussions. Doing it at 160 characters, it's just a big pain in the ass.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. I hate being that concise, too.
Yeah.
Part of it is, especially when in talking to Christians, it's all things we've heard 100 times before, and it's all things I used to say 100 times before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really frustrating because there's this deceptive feel about it that there's an obvious rebuttal, but you always end up chasing your tails in circles, and it's always the exact same things, and there's no, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't know. Are you familiar with Matt Dilhunty at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
He said on one of his shows on, I think it was the Atheist Experience, that if you know their arguments better than they do, then you're gonna win the argument. Because if you're going to argue something with somebody, you should know what their arguments are going to be. Because it's like saying, well, if a hurricane goes through a junkyard and it makes a DC-10, then how are pizza round? What? What are you talking about? You know, you have to know their arguments ahead of time before they get into those conversations. Otherwise, you're sitting there going, what the fuck are you talking about? Then they're like, oh, see, you don't know, so I win by default. You know, and they just don't understand that I don't know is a perfectly legitimate answer.
Part of it depends on what you mean by win the argument. Like, against the people themselves, they're simply going to refuse to hear you. And that's part of what you see coming down the road. So it's mostly just having the discussion out there in the open, and that goes back to the topic of who's the target. And the people who are really entrenched, all you can do is hopefully, whenever they're arguing, I'm pretty sure most of them, if they have any sense, have those nagging feelings in their mind that they're covering something up, just like I always did, and I think most do. And you hope that eventually wears on them until they kind of give it up. But most of the people, in my opinion, are people on the sidelines who are watching and, you know.
Yeah. I just drop a few F-bombs and they start freaking out. I was like, oh, my God, you swore. Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God, you said a bad word. I'm going to cry. Like, go ahead. Fucking do it. I don't care.
Well, that was one of the reasons why I started doing videos, was to answer these questions so that I could be able to just basically link them to a video. It's like, here's the answer to your question.
I've done that with people. It's like, I don't know, but I know somebody who does know, and I've seen it on this video or I've seen it on this page, and I send it to them, and then they'll just argue around it like this, like they never looked at it at all. I was like, what was the whole point of that? It's you're just wasting your time, because they know that they can, and that's for them. This is for them. They get a giggle. I was like, see, I made them go do research. It's like, so what? Learning things is a good thing, not a bad thing. You people out there, you're like, oh, if I actually have to read something, then I might change my opinion, and that would be a bad thing. It's like, no, that's a good thing. You're learning at that point. Tom, do you have any additional questions for the Prophet of Zod?
Thousands.
Okay, well, we're going to be here all night. Everybody go ahead, grab some chicken, and we'll be back in about 5 hours.
What? How is, I don't know if this, you really covered this, Packard. How has your family responded to your videos, or do they know about them, really?
That's a good question.
You mentioned your brothers.
That's a good question.
My family does not know about the videos.
Or so you think.
Right, yeah.
I was surprised when I finally revealed that they knew, and were not happy.
Yeah, partly... I try to keep a little under wraps because my kid's mom is still Christian, kind of on an off and on basis. Mm-hmm. And we kind of have an agreement that I really don't want them exposed to my videos, and she doesn't really either. So I don't know. It's weird that I don't, but I don't. I at this point in their lives, I just don't think it's appropriate for them. And we kind of have an agreement too that I'm not going to push that too hard. I'm confident that they're going to become atheists because, you know, we still have conversations and stuff. And
just tell me if I'm going too far. Are they? Tom knows where I'm going to go with this question. Are they exposing them to their religious life at all, or are they keeping that separate from them as well?
Yes, they're exposing them to it.
Okay. See, now that I don't like. Because the fact is, I mean, that's me personally, because it seems like it's the whole conversation is one-sided at that point. It's like, I can push my religion onto them, but you can't tell them that you don't believe in God. You know, that it seems a little bit one-sided. I mean, that's just from my perspective, of course.
Right, and I totally see the double standard of that on paper.
Yeah.
The thing with me is, personally, some of the type of material I have on my channel, mm-hmm. even I personally am not... I don't really think that's something that they should be viewing at this point.
Okay.
It's all just where you're at in your process, and I don't think where they're at yet.
Okay.
But definitely they are, at my household, exposed to... It comes down to the question of atheism. Like, she's told me she doesn't really want them... She doesn't want atheism, quote-unquote, pushed on them, which obviously is not fair because she's taking them to church.
Right.
But this is what I told her. And that's kind of, this kind of answers your question as well. Atheism isn't really a thing. It's not a body of any particular knowledge. It's not a belief system.
True.
It's just the lack of what you believe. And there's a whole range of issues dealing with skepticism and open information and things like that. And that's what I'm exposing my children to. It doesn't have the label of atheism to it.
I think you're doing it right in that instance. If you give them the kind of the round robin, if you're not, you know, directly saying, hey, you know, I don't believe for these reasons, but I'm asking you to, you know, question these assumptions or claims.
Yeah.
I think that's a little, I don't want to say underhanded, but it's, you know, a little subterfuge. But in the fact is that we live in a country that's 80% Christian. You have to use a little subterfuge. But at least you're putting the seeds of doubt in their mind that they should be questioning things that are presented to them.
Yeah. And we openly make fun of the Bible, and they'll do it too. And I have no doubts they're going to end up in a good place. I mean, if they end up being practicing Christians to some extent, but they're reasonable about it, I mean, that's not a terrible outcome in my opinion.
How old are they?
I have a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 8-year-old.
No, the 15-year-old's more than old enough to handle that shit,
yeah,
I think.
I have an 8-year-old, and part of my channel is I actively promote teaching children about religion, mm-hmm. but all religions.
Right.
I've used my daughter in several videos, mm-hmm. Just basically to expose what she's been exposed to. And I definitely don't push atheism. I push basically understanding why children are taught to believe in God and why they should be aware that there are other people who believe in other gods and other religions and the like. I think it's very important that the kids are exposed fully to a religion, but not, you know, not just one religion. And that's, I think, how you make atheists is by exposing them to all the religions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Myself, when I started this show, I actually had enough stuff going on here. I had to actually have help, and both my daughters were helping me, and they started right around that age, about 15, 16 years old, and they were actually helping me do all the background stuff here, too. So I think 15 is a good time to say, hey, I think it's time to expose you to this stuff. I mean, they're past the age, the age of reason, whatever the hell that is. But yeah. I think that's more than, and 13, I think, is, you know, not a bad time to introduce them to that as well. That's just my opinion, of course.
No, the 13-year-old is on board with me, I think, even more than the 15. But
okay,
it has less to do with their age than where they're at in the process, and I think what they're ready to hear their dad vocalizing openly about religion, what it means for my relationship with them. And
true.
I don't know. I think of my growing process, and this again goes back to who's the intended audience of the video.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control who comes and sees my videos and who might get offended and, you know, who's ready for whatever stage of things I'm articulating there. But I don't at this point believe that it's the right thing for them right now.
No, I get
that. And that could be a controversial thing to say, and everybody's going to have a different call there. But I think
I'm going to say it's your family. You know, I can't tell you what to do. I'm just, you know, these are just my viewpoints on it. That's all.
Well, partly it's strategic. I mean, like I said before, atheism is not a thing that you expose people to. It's just general questions of skepticism and even the question of different religions. My oldest came home and my youngest said something about marrying someone or having a girlfriend, but it's a Mormon. And my oldest one says, well, I've been exposed to a lot of Mormons and they're really nice people. I don't see the problem with them.
Yeah, no,
and
I get that.
I took that conversation further as far as Mormons, atheists, Muslims, you know, the more people they're out and exposed to. And that was a big growing thing for me, was just getting exposed to different people.
Yeah. Connie was going to say something. Go ahead, Connie.
Oh, well, I just find it interesting because religion, the earlier you indoctrinate them, that the belief in God is natural and normal. That's really the big problem. And again, it's like the default position. You know, if you're a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, and you go to church, you know, because your parents go to church, it's what you're exposed to. And so you have this predisposition built upon, I don't know, I don't want to call it a superstitious predisposition, because, you know, giving entity to invisible beings, which is part of magical thinking, which kids have. And it feeds on that. I just wish that religion would wait until children were of an age that they could differentiate between that. Because, if my kids came home tomorrow and they were just saying, yeah, I think I believe in God and whatever, you know, as adults, and they could reason, and that's fine with me. The problem is we indoctrinate our children at a very, very young age with the predisposition that, you know, gods exist. And long after kids no longer believe in Santa Claus, they have modeling from their parents and everybody else around them that God exists. And so that's the unfair advantage that it has. But I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry, it's not so much a question as it is atheism is a point that we arrive at, because it's sort of like you're at the middle of a crossroads, and you have, I don't know, divergent roads, you know, but a lot of people are already prejudiced, you know, by the way that they've been brought up.
Exactly, and that's part of my thinking. They've already been,
yeah,
with her, I mean, back when we were married, with her influence and my kind of half-hearted approval, they've gotten to where that was very normalized to them. Not to the extent that I was growing up. It was a lot more casual in our house and kind of off and on. Mm-hmm. But they do have the feeling that that's the norm. And there's this point where bringing up the word atheist, that really riles people up. Even if you describe stuff that's more or less atheist, they're okay with it. So I just think of where my journey went. I mean, with my brother, for example, I was still nominally a Christian and when he was an atheist, and we would talk about things. And I got to the point where I felt he was much more reasonable and I agreed with him on more topics than most Christians. And I think that's kind of where my children are getting with me. And I feel like it's better to have them at that point without trying to throw the A word into the mix.
I look forward to a time when we can talk about this openly, and not believing is more the norm than believing, because you're automatically assuming that a God exists without any evidence. And of course, children will just believe because, you know, children have imaginary friends, and they move from imaginary friends to the bigger imaginary friend in the sky that grants wishes and causes things to happen. And it's okay because the adults believe in the same imaginary friend, so it must be okay.
Well, I'd rather have the conversation. I'd rather have the conversation with my children, and they all know that, and amongst all my kids.
Yeah, when it comes to being professional, Connie's a professional with children.
It's they run the gamut, and that's what I'm most interested in, is the conversation, because that's what moves it forward. Because my oldest son was actually the one who, I wouldn't say led me into atheism, but he questioned everything and caused me to think about it. And that's what I love, is the conversation. Because again, you know what? Even though we don't see any proof of God or gods, there might be a point in time where we understand that there is something else out there. It doesn't have to be the omnipresent, Christian God or, you know, Buddha or anybody. But
it might be a creature that's living in Tom's garage.
I don't know, there's a lot of shit in there. There could be anything living in there.
Absolutely. It absolutely could be. Exactly. It could be something living in Tom's garage. We have a quick question from the chat room here. Unfortunately, Tom, the real Paul Marshall, had a question, but he's left. And he asked, squirrels, red or gray? I have no idea what he meant by that, but I'm going to ask it anyway because, you know.
In Alaska.
Yeah. Red.
Red. Red squirrels? Okay.
I've never seen a gray squirrel in Alaska.
I live in Wisconsin. I've seen red. I've seen black. I've seen gray.
All we have here is tiny red squirrels.
Tiny red squirrels.
They chew everything up until you shoot them.
That's the moose meat, right? You make that, you know, put it out for bait for moose. I guess I don't know. I don't even know what moose meat.
Squirrel pudding.
Squirrel pudding.
So
how's the weather in Alaska? I was there in June, and it was hotter there than it was here in Chicago. How's the weather now?
Yeah, it's getting that way more in the winters.
Really?
It's getting common on Facebook to post a picture like Alaska and California or somewhere in the states, and they're full of snow, and we have basically no snow on the ground right now.
Really?
Which may be global warming. The jet stream's pushing warm air up here. But last three or four winters, we've had very, very little snow and very warm weather.
Yeah, here it's a couple weeks into November. And I remember a few years ago, well, when my kids were little, we had snow in towards the end of October. And here where it's middle of November, the first week of November, we had almost 70 degree temperatures. It was just wild.
I remember the 5th of November. Oh, sorry.
Dawkins, did you have a question for Prophet of Zod? He was talking about the squirrels in the chat room there for a short time there.
It made me think about the author, Beatrix Potter, The Red Squirrels. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was talking about red squirrels. Squirrel Nutkin.
Squirrel Nutkin.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
That's a funny story.
What is the absolute dumbest argument you've seen for the existence of the Sky Troll?
The Sky Troll, I assume, being Jehovah?
Yeah.
Is
that the thing in Tom's garage?
There's always the monkey one, but the one that drives me most crazy, I think, is presuppositionalism. Mm. Or maybe the moral argument, because it's just dumb. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, presuppositionalism is the most irritating, if not the worst one, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that presumption, I can't even say it. It's just so bizarre. So
I've thought of starting a series on presuppositional atheism.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can construct something like that. I thought it'd be funny. But
oh, there you go. We could give it a shot. See, why not? There's a lot of people. If you know it, I would do it. Saad, can you stick around for a little while longer with us?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Great. Where can they find your channel?
Well, just type, I guess, just search Prophet of Zod on YouTube. Or mm-hmm. I think not, once I rolled over 100, I got my URL. So it's youtube.com/C/Prophet of Zod.
Oh, great. I had their long URL, squirrel face, moose butt, L5, whatever, you know, something. So yeah.
Easiest thing is just to type in the search. Fortunately, that's a sequence of words that don't come up much in searches, so I'm easy to find.
Oh, that's good. We've had some guests on in the past where they were close to another channel name, so it's like, yeah, it's kind of hard to find me. So
that was one of the few strategic parts of choosing that name, is it's not out there very much.
True. That's hey, Packard Pokesack. Come on now.
Exactly.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Join us live at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at packardpokesat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from cafepress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us,
you kick ass!
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. Be sure to check out our secondary podcast, The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe. We're having a lot of fun with that, and it's getting really bizarre. We actually got through a whole chapter on this last episode, so you don't have to sit and wait and wonder what happens next. Like anybody sitting around wondering what's happening next in the Bible.
They're biting their fingernails.
They're like, oh my God, what's happening next? What's going to happen? Packard, tell us. Yeah, no one's doing that. No. Although we do try to make it as entertaining as possible. And
without nudity or
yeah. Wait. I'm completely naked every time we do that.
Oh,
so,
shit. So I forgot. Semi nudity from the waist up, because that's where the camera goes, I guess. And I'm just a cat picture. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
Sometimes when you're putting on a show for YouTube or Facebook, because that's a thing now, you can broadcast directly to Facebook, you want to have a nice prop. So you can say, hey, you know, I've got this device and I need to show you how it works and things like that. And or I'm going to do this comedy sketch and I have a baseball going to fly out of my ear or something like that. You know, you got to have a good prop. It's a thing. However, this particular Catholic priest had a great prop. Unfortunately, it was a real, real live dead. Well, live is speculative at this point.
It's actual. A great
prop, right? It was an actual. This is a prop I don't think anybody had planned. I mean, yeah. So,
well, he planned it.
Yeah, he planned it. Father Frank Pavlone, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He suggested that people vote for Donald Trump using an actual dead fetus laying on a platter with a towel on it that was entrusted to him to have set for disposal, because when you get these little fetuses or whatever they are, you know, it could be a clump of cells, it could be, you know, whatever's the, because the fetus has died. And he put this thing out on display where everybody could see it and said, hey, if you don't vote for Donald Trump, then people are going to have to be forced to get abortions, which nobody is forcing anybody to get abortions. This isn't fucking China, you son of a bitch. Over in China, they do that. Yeah, only in China they do that kind of shit. They don't do that here.
Even China, they stopped doing that.
Did they stop doing that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then my information's out of date. But they were doing that. If you had so many children, or their child was the wrong gender, they would...
Wrong gender, yeah.
Yeah, they would, you know, make sure you didn't go to the term.
They only got one, so they wanted to make sure they had a boy.
Right, and that put a big different strain on them, on their social systems that they didn't even expect, but that's a whole other story.
Guess what? Your boy gets to grow up and...
Yeah, he gets to go and try to date, have... He's going to have to date other boys because you've gotten rid of all the girls. Because girls make babies, you know, because boys don't, obviously. So those, but that's the thing. Anyway, I digress. Anyway, he said on this video, he says, today I'm showing you a child who was killed by abortion and entrusted to us by a pathologist for burial. There's the key word, entrusted to us, which you basically fucking failed. You failed at your entrustment there. You were supposed to... Set this aside for burial. You weren't supposed to say, hey, everybody, you see the dead fetus? Here, come and take a sniff. God damn. Some people are this is just beyond the pale of stupidity. I mean, I am incensed and I am pro-choice. But you don't go out and say, hey, by the way, after we put him to death, we're going to put out this, you know, we're going to fight against the death penalty by bringing out a dead body and say, here, this is what happens to you after you've been murdered by the state. You don't do that kind of shit. Hey, here's somebody who just got their arm cut off by a chainsaw. This is why you don't play with chainsaws. While it's still fucking bleeding. You don't do that kind of shit. Kind of your thoughts.
But it is effective.
It is effective, but god damn, that's not... No. No, there is some quorum of decency that he just went... Way out of fifth base. Way out of... I don't play baseball. It's base. Somewhere out in left field or something. I don't know. Kind of your thoughts.
Evidently, the video is unavailable.
Yes, it is now.
Which is encouraging, because this was grotesque. That's not a fetus. That's a cadaver.
Yes.
All right. That's dead tissue on the slab in front of him on his fucking altar that he's going to do communion, I'm assuming. Or maybe I assume too much. How common are late-term abortions? Question and answer on USA Today. Of the more than 1 million abortions performed in the U.S. in 2011, about 12,000, or 1.3%, happened after 21 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? No person, no woman, no... couple, no guy chooses to have this procedure done. But the real pertinent point needs to be, who is ready to be a parent?
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me, you know, again, late term abortions are very rare. And so I don't know why a woman would say, I'm seven, eight months pregnant and I'm not wanting to have this baby. I don't want to keep this baby. That's a whole other issue. That's a whole other question.
Well, some wait until they're a couple of years old, and then they do the abortion.
Oh well. Let's talk about the fact that once the child is born, the GOP, the conservatives can just go ahead and starve them to death.
Oh yeah, yeah. We want you to have that baby, but after it's born,
problem,
go.
Right?
Yeah, it's not our problem anymore. We made sure you forced the child onto you, but we're not going to help you feed it. We're not going to help you clothe it. That's up to you. Go get a job and ignore child that you just gave birth to.
I really hate to switch. I hate to switch the goalposts on this, but this is how it goes. And I'm sorry if they want to sit here and speculate what's happening with the woman who's having the baby, that she just wants to go out there and screw and have fun and have sex and she doesn't care. Well, guess what? You, on the other side, then you get to deal with the idea that the projection is, you know, that you just don't care about babies after they've been born.
Right.
Unless they're in a monogamous, you know, I'm sorry. No, can we have an intelligent conversation about reproduction?
I'm sorry. I just got a quick question myself.
Sure.
Is why hasn't the government, since he said if you don't do this, you need to vote for Donald Trump for this, and he basically pretty much blatantly came out and said it.
Yeah.
Why hasn't his tax exempt status been fucking taken away from the motherfucker?
Please. Thank you. Talk about real consequences. Exactly.
Yeah, this should be a serious consequence. He's saying you should have voted for Donald Trump because of this, and his own archdiocese said, "Hey, dude, you went a little too far here." You know, when your own people who are on your side say, "Yeah, back off the train, buddy boy," then you know you fucked up. I mean, I'm an atheist, and sometimes the other atheists say, "Yeah, you went a little too far." It's like, "Yeah, maybe I did." You know, because there's a check and balance there, but I don't have to worry about a tax.
Exactly.
I don't have to have a tax status taken away from me to just say, hey, you know, that's not the best argument. This is a better argument, and this is why this is wrong. I was like, oh, okay, this is a bad argument. Putting a dead fucking body on there.
Maybe you need to get your tax exempt status.
Yeah. Well, maybe I need to get a tax exempt status, and I'll really bring a goddamn dead baby, and I'll put it on your face here. Hey, look at the dead baby, everybody.
We get flagged.
Tom, what are your thoughts on this?
I forgot what we were talking about.
I was getting I was about to get my
dead
nipples pierced. Dead babies. You know, they are delicious, though. You know, I'm just saying.
Well, I was just going to say, maybe he was trying to appeal to atheists. Maybe he thought he's putting out a buffet.
He's inviting
atheists to the church. Look, I put it out a buffet for you. You guys like this stuff, right?
Well, it did look a little undercooked. I'm just saying. He should have probably put it in barbecue sauce.
You know, these people, they're trying to condemn people for immoral behavior whilst they are doing the most unbelievably immoral, inhuman, just disgusting things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, I'm just showing how bad you are. I'm like, no, you're not. You're just showing how bad you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good point.
Yeah, and Dawkins in the chat room pointed out directly that the prohibiting abortions isn't going to stop people having an abortion. It just, you're just making it safer for them. But they don't see it like that. They just think that you're killing a baby, that's not a thing.
You're forcing people to become parents
or make decisions
adoption, is that really that great an option?
No, it's not. I don't think adoption is a very good a solution. That's just my opinion, because you're forcing them to give this individual, which is now an individual at this point, and give them to somebody who could turn them into, well, all right, it's a slippery slope fallacy. Sorry. You're going to turn it over to people who may not care, and they may, you know, turn them into a next monster or whatever. They might turn them into somebody that's good too. Yeah. We don't know. I'm just saying. I'm going to play both ends of the argument there, because if I just play one end, I'm going to be in contempt of my own logic there, and I don't want to do that. But what are
the motives of the people who are adopting children?
Yeah, and also our adoption services areas are. The people who are in adoption are, besides being horrible, they're overflowing with children right now who are who are bounced literally from house to house through almost their entire lives. Now, I'm not going to say that's every child, because there's few exceptions that get into a good home and they get out of the system. But a good portion of them, they stay in the system. And they like I said, they bounce from house to house to house. And they just don't have a steady, healthy environment.
The amazing thing is, you know, we go through our lives. You get married with no problems. You have kids with no problems. You have, you know. But as soon as the government gets involved, then everything is super regulated. Yeah, I'm suffering through a divorce right now, and it'd be simple if we could just, like, we got married. It was nobody got involved when we got married, but when you get divorced, everybody's got to regulate exactly what's got to happen. Yep. And with a
preach it.
With a adoption, I mean, anybody can have a kid. Anybody can have a cracked mom can have a kid, but if you want to adopt a kid, the problems that potential adoptive parents have to go through to get approved to adopt somebody else's child, a well-established, healthy, sane couple will have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to adopt a baby from a crack addict mom.
Yeah.
Because crack addict mom, she has first dibs on the kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the crack addict mom isn't allowed to get an abortion, even though she wants one.
Right. Dawkins Doug from the chat said Angela Jolie is getting divorced. She's too busy to adopt anymore. So don't rely on Angela Jolie to adopt your child.
I can only think about Keanu Reeves from the movie Parenthood. You know, you need a license to fish. You need a license to drive. But any asshole can become a dad or a mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a mom. And
the trouble is some assholes who don't want to become parents know they're assholes and know they don't want to be parents.
Yeah,
but you know, like, no, you have to have this kid. How old do you have to be to get...
You fucked up, so you got to fuck up completely for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
But Tom, how old do you have to be to get sterilized as a male? I mean, I know somebody, I won't say who, but I know somebody who was in the military and he wanted to get a vasectomy, but he wasn't 25 years old.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that was a mental
age restriction?
There was a restriction,
really?
And it's, you know, it's altering. And I'm like, why should anybody care? Because
I wasn't aware of the particular age restriction. I'm going to have to look more into that. Prophet of Zod, what are your thoughts on this?
This story, when I was looking at it, is just strangely familiar to me because I grew up in the middle of all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember some of the people I went to church with at the fair, they would have a display with all these models and pictures and everything put up. And I remember watching videos in church of people who would like dig stuff out of dumpsters and stuff like that, and you'd see them rolling little babies' heads around on their fingers and stuff like that. So
Yeah. It's
kind of uniquely disgusting to me without even having I never got the chance to watch the video, but just this whole idea, yeah, it's kind of, I can kind of understand I don't at all think it's right, and I think it's disgusting. I can kind of understand the point of view that they're coming from, because I grew up with it, that this is, they consider this murder of a human being and they're just trying to alert people to the reality of it. But it's, yeah, I don't think it's appropriate and it's gross. And like the article said, his own people are turning on him. And this is kind of just showing that this whole way of arguing abortion is going out of style.
Yeah. This is a style that I've never seen before. And I mean, not to this extreme anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, usually they settle on pictures of like, here, look at this in the womb, look at this, and there's some pictures of, here's some cut up babies. It's like,
I never saw anything quite like that. That was pretty disgusting.
Yeah,
but,
I've seen the ones where they show the picture where they're cut up or something like that. It's like, ugh.
I do apologize, but something's come up, and I do have to sign off at this point.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's nice to meet you, Prophet Azad.
Thank you for joining us, Prophet Azad. If you again, before we go, one more time, where can they find your channel?
Easiest thing is just search Prophet of Zod at YouTube, and my Twitter's there on the screen as well. But yeah,
all right, very good. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll have you back on again as soon as we possibly can.
All right, I appreciate having me on. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thanks. Good night.
Good.
Again, we want to thank Prophet Azad for joining us tonight, and we will definitely have him on again as soon as we possibly can.
Were you born an asshole, or did you work at it your whole life? Either way, it worked out fine, because you're an asshole tonight.
ISIS have done some really stupid things in their claims to try to hold on to certain territories. They send out these people. They look like normal people, but they're packed with explosives. And I'm not talking they ate a bunch of chili before they went to the marketplace. They're literally wrapped with explosives. When they started running out of guys to do this, they's like, ladies, guess what? We're non-discriminatory with that comes to blowing yourselves up. You're next. So they started sending out women because no one wants to frisk the ladies, and boom, they start getting blown up. ISIS is coming to the point where they are so far removed from having people available to do these attacks because we have recognized what they're doing, and they don't get close enough to us because we say, hey, here they come in the truck, and they're going to blow us up. They blow them away before they get anywhere near us because they refuse to stop at check marks and whatever, so they just get stopped. ISIS has now moved on to suicide dogs. PETA has a big problem with people using dogs for anything. And suicide dogs is right there where they should be saying, yeah, that's the wrong thing to be doing. But I don't know what their stance are, but I'm sure that they would, on this one point, I think we would both agree on that. Because they have carried out over 100 suicide attacks in just the last 19 days, well, probably 20 days now, in different parts of Mosul regions, and they have decided to started using the canines for this. And the thing is, the dog doesn't have a switcher on that he can go, yeah, I'm in the right position, so I'm going to blow things up. So they put the dog into a certain place, and then they get far enough away, and then they remote detonate. How fucking sick and fucked up are you to send trained animals, say, to go out into this thing and to blow people up? That's just fucking beyond the pale. Connie, your thoughts?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they do have bomb sniffing dogs, so they're we send dogs to bombs.
Yeah, we have dogs looking for bombs, but we're not sending dogs as bombs
with the intention of blowing them up.
Right, yeah, and actually they've had equipped more than 600 dogs so far have been equipped with bombs to carry out suicide attacks outside the Iraq Army forces.
Can I point out that dog spelled backers is God?
Yes, yeah. It is.
But
unless you put an S on there, then it's dogs. What's that, Tom? I'm sorry.
When you show absolutely no regard for life,
yes,
I mean they're willing to blow themselves up or their children up or their wives up. Why not dogs?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Hey, okay.
Next thing it'll be chickens.
Maybe their numbers are so few that now they've moved from suicide bomber males to women to dogs.
Yeah,
maybe they're that desperate. Should that be?
I think that people are realizing this is bullshit and they're just like refusing.
Thank you.
That could be too.
I'm hoping one could hope.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Have either of you seen the movie Four Lions?
No.
It was a spoof comedy, but it was kind of a very dark comedy. Four guys were. They were going to become suicide bombers, for Allah.
Oh, and, really?
Real idiots. I mean, one guy accidentally blew himself up. Another guy blew himself up out of an argument. And it was just.
That's like.
It just showed the idiocy of the whole suicide bombing phenomenon and just how pointless it is. And just.
I would like to think that they are waking up, say, you know what? I'm not going to get close enough to blow these people up, so I'm not going to waste my life on trying to get close when I'm just going to get.
Well, what's their fucking point?
I think if I'm going to blow up the Frenchman, I think right now I'm too close to blow myself up. I mean, I can't imagine just the whole idea, the sales technique they use on these people to convince themselves to blow themselves up must be phenomenal.
Yeah.
It makes timeshare salesmen and used car salesmen look like complete amateur, incompetent boobs.
Yeah.
The sales job that they take on.
What kind of job did you have before? I was car salesman. Perfect. We'll put you in charge of convincing people to put bombs on themselves.
I mean, I just.
It's sad. Packard,
yes.
You see the chat room, Dawkins Dog, a comedy show here in the UK back in the 90s predicted bomb dogs and how to defuse them.
Oh, really? Wow. I'm hoping that they didn't actually, someone come across as a, oh, that's a good idea. We'll make bomb dogs. Holy shit.
My only question was, is this Monty Python?
Yeah, I don't know. No. I don't remember ever seeing anything like that on Monty Python, but, you know, Monty Python was way out there with shit. So, Tom, your thoughts?
It's hard to argue Islam is a religion of peace when they're blowing anything up that's willing to, or not even willing, that's capable
of
carrying a bomb into a situation.
You know why they don't blow up the camels, don't you? They're their girlfriends.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was really bad. That was really bad. That was really bad. I apologize.
That's kind of funny. A joke. If you've ever seen a camel is a big animal.
Yeah. But they're practically invisible because the fact is, you know, it's like they just expect to see them. So it's like, oh, well, there's a camel. Okay.
Yeah. They don't blow up the camels because camels are too valuable to them.
Probably.
Their wives and their children and their dogs aren't valuable enough. But camels, they
right. Like I said, they're girlfriends.
Yeah. I mean, I realize this is an extremely small percentage of people who are doing this.
Yeah.
But it's sickening.
It really is sickening.
I think anyone of that religion should look at this and be like, what is wrong with my religion? I don't believe in this. So why do I believe in a religion that people use to do things like this?
Yeah. I'd like to know that, too. I mean, what propagates in their mind to say, hey, we need to die for this cause? I mean, there's an old saying that when you go to war, and these people are in war, a war anyway, the saying goes, and I don't think they've caught on to it just yet, is to not die for your country, is to make them die for their country. But they've got it backwards. They think they need to die for their imaginary sky wizard or sky monkey or whatever the fuck it is that they're worshipping.
Well, the problem with Islam is the same problem with Christianity, is there's a lot of varieties of it.
Yeah.
And everybody justifies their belief by saying, oh, but they're, you know, they're not true Muslims, or they're doing it wrong, or that's a different sect.
No true Scotsman.
Mine is the right one. They're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you know, I've gone back and forth with a few Muslims online about this, too. So I understand that one, too.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man. You just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com. You got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Out in Brazil, they are very open with their sexuality.
It's time to plan your next vacation.
Yes, exactly. Time to plan your next vacation. Because
Brazil, isn't that a particular kind of, I don't know, buzz cut down low?
Well, yeah, that's a wax, but that's a different story. Down in Brazil, they are actually promoting a new park, like a Disneyland, sort of. It's called Erotica Land, where you can be naked in there. You can walk around naked. They have naked swimming pools because it's really hot down there. And it's a theme park for sexuality. And they're going to have concession stands. They're going to probably spelling
non-consensual stands.
Well, they're going to have a hotel built inside and once on the outside where you can go to as well. I don't know if you have to pay any extra for the hotels that are inside. I'm sure you do. Because the one thing that they don't have in there they're not going to have any there, is you're not allowed to have sex while you're in there, which is kind of bizarre, seeing that everybody's naked already and they're promoting, hey, everybody have sex, but don't have sex.
Well, here's the thing. If everybody's naked, do you really want to have sex? I mean, that seems like it would be a turnoff seeing a bunch of naked people.
You don't watch the same porn that I do, Tom. I'm going to get you hooked up with my collection. Anyway. But they're saying that the plans are underway for this park with genitalia-shaped amusement rides. So you can just imagine what that's going to be like. So
the rocket
needless to
Mars.
Say, they're all adult rides.
Yeah, they actually have a picture of what looks like a statue of a guy holding and kissing somebody. And this girl's like, oh, yeah, I'm making out with this statue. You know, the Adonis type thing there. So there are plans of including the pool, like I said, It's a nudist pool, so you can go in there and swim around and be naked and happy and whatever, you know. Yeah. So,
it would be pretty funny, though, if they did have a sign that said, you must be this long to ride this ride.
Yeah, but there's no plan. So far, there are no plans to allow kids in, thankfully. But, you know, I don't know. But there's also going to be a museum of sex in there. I was like, okay, a museum of sex? That sounds fun. Connie, your thoughts?
Museum of sex.
Yeah, museum of sex.
Mine would have two exhibits.
Oh!
But then there'd be the entire hall of imagination, I guess. Yeah, that's weird. Okay, well, you know, erotica land, where erotica comes to play.
Mm-hmm. The most interesting thing about this park like this.
Please illuminate
this.
This is your forte.
Yes, it is. I pleasure in this kind of stuff. The most interesting thing about this thing, most people would think this thing's going to be fucking.
The water slide?
No. Most people are going to think to get in something like this is going to be fucking expensive as hell. No, only $100. $100 and you're in. And you get to see all the naked people you want live.
You get to pay to come out of there.
Yeah. You get to pay. Yeah, only $100 and take off all your clothes.
I'm most weirded out that the fact that Brazil is such a high crime rate.
There's not going to be a lot of pickpocket action.
Yeah. The pickpockets are going to have a harder time, especially if you're naked, you know. Tom, your thoughts?
Well, to me at least, the thing that makes things or people sexy is imagining them without clothes. So seeing everybody without clothes just seems very unsexy to me.
Again, so I'll have to get you hooked up with my porn. I'm just
the whole idea of a themed amusement park doesn't seem sexy at all to me.
No, I get the psychology behind that because it becomes normalized. It's like most people nowadays.
Oversaturation.
Yeah, oversaturation. It's like back in the day, watching a horror movie was like, oh my god, that's risque and shit like that, but. Because of the way life is now, I mean, it's like, okay, no big deal. I was like, oh, yeah, Chainsaw Massacre. Ooh, chainsaw. Ooh, someone's going to shoot somebody. Ooh. The thrill is gone.
Sitcoms.
Yeah. It's just the thrill is completely gone now.
That's not how chainsaws work, by the way.
Okay. Though. I know. I've seen a few things that are like along this. Never mind.
That's not how penises work either, but okay.
Well, I'm just saying. No, anyway.
No, I'm just saying. I've been in the receiving end of that one.
Well, that's true. But I'm just saying. I've seen a few things.
Oh, God. Excuse me. Who's the expert here? Anyway.
I just wanted to sterilize all the seats between each rides.
Yeah, I hope they wipe down the seats.
I'm banging my head against the table right now. So, go ahead. I'm muting my microphone.
Okay.
Unsanitary.
Unsanitary. Unsanitary.
Oh, you win. You win, Tom.
Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. He's a fucking motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the fucking fucker. Fuck the motherfucker. He's a total fucking fucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fucking fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucking Pope.
And tonight we have our Pope on a Rope segment. And tonight we're going to be talking about Pope Innocent VIII, who wasn't so innocent. He was remembered as the golden age of bastards. He acknowledged 8 illegitimate sons. Now, I was trying to do a little research on this before the show, like days before we did the show. I couldn't find 8. I found 2. So, I mean, as far as this guy is concerned, maybe there's 8. I don't know for sure. But although he found time between all the love affairs he had to start up the Inquisition, and on his deathbed, he ordered a comely wet nurse to supply him with fresh milk right from the breast. What a great guy. Ew.
I can go for that.
Yeah. And he was born in August 1484, and he died July 25th of 1492.
Too late. He died too late. Too late.
Yeah, he was Pope for 7 years and 331 days. So he was one of the very sexually active popes. Kind of your thoughts.
Wow. Sorry. I never was a Catholic, and this is just shit. Yeah. I just, no.
He would have been, had a lot of fun at Erotica Land there, I'm sure.
Oh, I wish I could send him to Erotica Land. I wish it could be one of those Monkey's Paw Erotica Lands.
Yeah.
Because that's just crap. And I, again, I already said coming into this show this evening that I wasn't able to research a whole lot, but what a fucking motherfucker.
Yeah, he was one of those motherfucking priests.
Well, or he was, what do you call them? The little boys, the altar boy fucking priest.
Oh,
I don't care.
Pedophile.
I don't know if he's a pedophile, though.
I don't know if he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
I think he's probably, like most religious leaders, he was doing things that he was ashamed of. So instead of altering his behavior, he condemned everyone else who was doing basically the same thing or less.
Yeah.
Thank you.
To make himself feel more
pious. Always. Yeah, always a politician, always the... Yeah, you explained it for me very well. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, we have this image from respect existence or expect resistance. Tom, did you have any thoughts on this real quick?
No, well, I voiced my most prominent one. It's just, it's religious leaders, popes have always been extremely... what's the word? Where their behavior is the opposite of what they're preaching.
Yeah.
Reverence, that's probably not the right word.
I use this word all the time, and of course it won't come into my head. Hypocritical.
Hypocritical. Oh, yeah, he's definitely a hypocrite. So.
There you go.
All righty, well, we do got to get out of here. Again, we want to thank Prophet of Zod for joining us. Unfortunately, he did have to duck out early, so I'm sure he would have loved these two extra segments. Unfortunately, it just worked out that way. But we'll be back next week with our short show and for the next couple months. Because of my work schedule, the shows until sometime in January are going to be all short shows. Except for our at the end of our month talk show for our OK Let's Talk. That's still going to be an hour long. So you're still going to have plenty of content. And that's why we give you a little extra content tonight. Play it a little at a time. This way you have a little extra, you know, during the week. So we'll be back then. Until then, this has been Packer Pokes that we just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.